It's time for the Draft Dudes Podcast.
What's better than this?
Your hosts, the Draft Dudes themselves and co-founders of the Draft Network, Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino.
Guys being dudes
on the Draft Dudes Podcast. And it starts now.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes Podcast. It's Joe Marino. It's Kyle Krabs. We're your hosts. Chris Schubert's here floating around producing this thing. We're all from the Draft Network, and we are brought to you by BetOnline. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends over at BetOnline, which is your number one source for all your sports betting needs. They've got all the sports wagering information that you need. They have live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. And it's always the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports and events, whether that's the NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. So head to betonline.ag to join and receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELEAV, that's BLEAV, to receive your rewards. It's BetOnline, and it's where the game starts. Kyle, happy National Pie Day to you.
It's important to note, there's more than one Pie Day on the calendar, but pie is so good that anytime it shows up, we have to celebrate.
Wow.
And here we are.
Yeah. Not the math pie, because God knows we would never celebrate that on March 14th.
PI. No, not Matt, not National Pie. PI.
We'll be participating in that.
For, I don't know what comes after the 4. 2? 2, 7?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sure.
It's 3.1416 is how far I can go with pie.
Okay, so I was one digit off for each.
What is it used for? Some type of circle? The circumference of a circle?
Oh,
that is correct, Joseph.
Do you really want to go down this path?
Because Joe's right. Or is it the circumference or is it the radius?
You know, oh boy. Diameter.
But that's not the day we're celebrating today. That's not the day we're celebrating.
No, actual pie. We will give it a little celebration here at the end of the podcast.
Give it its due
the
time.
Circumference, Joe. You were correct. Yeah. You were correct the whole way.
Let's go.
Draft dudes do math. Shock up a dub.
The only math dub of the year. We nailed one on December 1st. Right. That's outstanding.
Took 11 months. Got one in.
So it's watch list day today as well.
Yeah.
We're looking at the abbreviated college football schedule, of course. Conference championship weekend. We will be present at one of these events. Chris, would you like to? I know obviously you're one of the puppet masters for events and affairs and Draft Dudes activations. And what can you tell us about this weekend and the plans for the dudes?
I can tell you we're going to be hanging out at the SEC championship game. I can tell you that for a fact. LSU Georgia will be there. We'll be hanging out in Atlanta with everybody with the craziness. So we will be there. If you're there, if you're going to the game, stop by, say hello. More information coming for you, but we're going to have a tailgate. We're going to be hanging out. We're going to be having a good time. So you're going to have to just come out and see us.
We got dudes in Atlanta. Panda, panda, okay. Panda, right? Like,
it's good. Yes.
Yeah. I'm hip.
Wow.
Somebody's going to clip that and that'll live in immortality. Should. And that's fine. That's fine. Yeah. I'm excited for it. I obviously get a chance to see everybody and SEC championship, LSU, Georgia. It's not necessarily what we all expected we were going to get at the beginning of the year, but I think that's a great encapsulation of everything that is this year's college football season in general. Because it's been topsy-turvy, unpredictable along the way, and this is the final destination for conference championships and figuring out who makes the college football playoff.
Hope LSU wins by 100.
You think so? You're just here for the chaos? You want them to get...
Give me Purdue. Woo. Give me LSU. Give me Kansas State. Give me Utah.
No, because then they're going to put Bama in.
Right, and that's what I want. I want their phoniness to be just displayed to the world of how
Joe
bad they are at their
you
job.
When they win.
Well, no, he wants the committee to have egg on their face.
I want the committee to look like the idiots that I think they are. I said it.
Well, they got the first four teams fine, in my opinion. It's after that where I take exception.
I think they got the first five teams right in my mind right now. I guess six.
You think Alabama should be ahead of Tennessee? You do? Alabama lost to Tennessee and LSU.
Yeah, I agree.
Tennessee beat both of those teams.
Well, we do have to acknowledge Hendon Hooker's no longer playing.
Are you allowed to do that? Is that fair?
Yes. It's context. But
see, Joe, the committee's allowed to do whatever they want because they make it up as they go.
So if,
right. So if you acknowledge that they're going to change the rules at any given point to get the what they feel will be the most competitive four teams at that point in time, and then they'll retroactively argue for resumes when it's applicable, but they'll say, well, Tennessee's resume includes Hennon Hooker, and Hennon Hooker's out for the remainder of the season, so they are not the next team in line.
That's dangerous.
Joe, they're
going to
punish. They are going
to
punish TCU for getting to their conference championship game if TCU loses, and they're going to put Ohio State in. They're going to punish a team for making a conference championship game and reward a team who didn't.
Right, so because at the end of the day, they're setting up the rules and trying to get the four most prestigious needle moving franchises in. If I say franchises, programs that you can get in, like. USC, they're over the moon that USC got in a position as a one-loss team that's a potential conference champion to be like, yes, Caleb Williams is this rock star, Lincoln Riley, LA market. They were over the moon that USC ran the table the way that they did, and you get a potential longtime powerhouse that's out of the picture. They are playing Utah on Friday, by the way, since we're doing watch list without really doing the watch list. We're just talking about the college football playoff, but... I'm excited that the Pac-12 is a standalone game. I'm very excited that the Pac-12 is a standalone game.
USC, 3-point favorites, neutral site, looking to avenge their only loss of the year, a very narrow loss to Utah earlier in the year. I feel like they take care of their business.
I do as well.
But there's a path for Utah, a very physical team, run the football. I mean, they got guys too, man. So they're no easy.
You know who I watched more of recently? I haven't done him as a write up yet, but I watched this player, Tupelotu.
Yeah,
dude's on a different level this year. Yeah. I mean, his. I thought he was I don't want to say lethargic, but I thought he was much more power oriented player this year. And this year, I mean, or last year and this year, he's explosive too. Really disruptive player up front. Can play the run really well. USC's got some low-key defensive talent. Everybody wants to talk about the offense, of course, with Lincoln Riley and Caleb Williams and all the receivers that they have. But, yeah, man, I like the Trojans.
Me too.
I think they could beat any team in the college football playoff.
I would agree. I don't disagree with that. I don't know that they'd be my favorite. If it holds serve, I don't know that I would pick them to win it, but they could.
What we need to do is we need to have Michigan versus USC. So we need Georgia to be the one, and we need USC to jump TCU. Or TCU could just fall out, and you could have Georgia, Ohio State, and then Michigan.
Are you concerned that
Chris, there's... Do you genuinely want to watch TCU?
Yeah, I do.
In the playoff?
I do.
That's not the question. You're asking the wrong question. TCU is deserving to be in the conversation. They are an undefeated Power 5 team.
But if they lose to Kansas State.
Well, but don't put that out in the universe is what I'm saying. It's what I'm asking of you. Why can't we root for TCU? Why can't we root for a team like TCU?
Because I don't think they're particularly fun to watch.
Well, that's a you problem then.
It is a me problem, and I'm allowed to have an opinion. You don't get mad at me two consecutive days on the show for voicing my opinion.
I want to watch Ken Miller
having it rooted
in the college football
reason.
Playoff.
Just bringing logical, reasonable opinions to the table here, and you're yelling at me 2 days in a row. I just don't
understand.
The college
football playoff.
Is this because of week 18's coming up?
No, it grinds my gears. The college football playoff and the committee, do they just grind my gears, man?
Joe, do we want to continue down the watch list path, or do we want to keep spiraling down the drain here with... college football playoff. I guess we should probably save the college football playoff takes until after this weekend.
Right, because it'll sort itself out, hopefully, right?
Right.
But I think, Kyle, as somebody who's, you've admitted that you don't want to see TCU in the playoffs, if they win their game...
They're in.
Yeah, like you're, yeah. And you can live in that
It's
world.
Like Cincinnati last year.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah, I agree.
You could respect what they've done, but it's still, like, I'd prefer not to watch you. I prefer not to watch Max Duggan throw YOLO balls and you run a 3-3-5.
But listen, dude.
Try and stop Georgia or Michigan running the ball on you. Like, I'd pass respectfully, but that's just me.
Best mascot in college football, though, the Horned Frogs.
That's true. And they got some sick helmets.
Yeah, they do. Got to give them that.
low-key respect the Big 12 for the all-purple conference championship game as well. Kansas State.
Underrated talking point, yeah.
It's the noon game. You know, we talked about the Friday game, the heavy hitter Utah versus USC. At noon, you have Kansas State and TCU. At 4, you have LSU-Georgia. I'm skipping over some games like Valparaiso and New Mexico State and Toledo, Ohio. We'll skip those.
Okay without that, yeah.
We'll especially skip Coastal and Troy because
not my Sun Belt championship game.
It's a phony conference championship game. And then you have Michigan and Purdue and Clemson, North Carolina. I'm glad that we could manage to stack two Power Five conference championship games at the same time. I think that's awesome.
Every year we do it.
That's outstanding. very cool of them to do that.
You guys think there's a path for LSU against Georgia?
No.
I struggle to find it too.
I have a hard time seeing the script, right? Like you saw how Georgia spaced the field against Tennessee with their DBs in the back end.
They got dudes.
Right. They got big time dudes and they got big time speed all over that defense and LSU with Daniels and using his legs. And I just think they can really bottle him and try to contain him within the pocket. And I don't like the matchup. Yeah. I am here for the Mason Taylor breakout game, but that's about it.
So here's a fun way to look at this. We got Georgia and Michigan. They're both undefeated going into these games.
Yes.
Do you think that they are both in no matter what scenario? Can either team lose and not be in the college football playoffs?
I think Michigan definitely can lose and still get in because they have the head-to-head against Ohio State who sits at 5. Mm-hmm. Right? So say Michigan loses, are you going to drop them below Ohio State when they beat them a week ago?
I wouldn't.
Right. I don't think you could logically explain that decision. So I think the floor for Michigan is 4.
I agree. And same thing with Georgia, right? Like those two teams are in my world at least.
So Georgia did not play Alabama this year, right?
That's right.
Who's their quality win? I guess that's just my question is who's fell apart at the seams down the stretch this year?
They beat
decided every time we're facing a fourth and less than 10 yards inside our own 40-yard line, we're just going to magically go for it for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, Tennessee and Oregon, that's it. That's the only two meaningful wins that
they have.
The next best win might be like honestly Florida or South Carolina. I'm not kidding. Wasn't the tough schedule this year for Georgia.
Okay. So I think this, if they both lose, I think Michigan ranks above Georgia, but the floor is probably still 4.
Yeah, I agree with that. And a big shout out to Clemson and North Carolina having stinker losses the last week of the regular season to make
backdooring in.
Right.
To make this a non-impact national landscape game.
Right. Losing to friggin' South Carolina and NC State with the third quarterback in for State.
Well, Tar Heels lost what? Two last two?
They lost to Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech. Man, what a brutal close.
Right, they're sitting there with one loss to Notre Dame going into Georgia Tech and NC State. Like you start to think, well, maybe if they can win all these games, they can get in. Nah. Drop the last two. Probably going to lose to Clemson. See you later.
Low-key, like an incredible stretch of, like, you beat App State by 2. You beat Georgia State by 7. You beat Miami by 3. You beat Duke by 3. You beat Virginia by 3. You beat Wake Forest by 2.
It's bound to happen, right?
Squeak it out game after game after game. Yeah, and then you lose by 4 and you lose by 3. You lose 2-1 score games. So, it's a bummer. But obviously from a Drake May perspective, I'll probably be more interested in this game for Drake May versus Clemson than I will be Purdue Michigan.
Purdue's always that pesky Big Ten team that can make things weird, right?
Yeah, and I'm sure Michigan didn't really care who was going to show up, but I think like coming into the last week of the regular season, there were like four Big Ten West teams that could have made it depending on tiebreaker. So just like on the scale and lexicon of contenders to come out of the Big Ten West, like this was probably the one that has the most sneaky upside, right? I mean, Illinois took them down to the wire 2 weeks ago, but Michigan won the game. And then it was Iowa, Minnesota, and Purdue. I mean, you had more than half the division finished within one game of first place in the Big Ten West.
You know, with Michigan as well, and we went through Georgia and we said, who are their quality wins? And we said, okay, Tennessee and Oregon. Michigan has Ohio State and Penn State, and that's it too. I know that Ohio State's a good win, but Tennessee was a great win at the time too.
I would say from a full resume perspective, Michigan's top win is better than Georgia's top win, and Michigan's number two win is better than Georgia's number two win.
Their number two win. So you think Oregon beating Penn State's a better thing than beating Oregon?
I think so. I mean, Penn State's also ranked eighth right now. So, I mean, just looking at the big picture here at the end of the road, and Michigan killed them in the same sense that Georgia killed Oregon in a neutral site game. Michigan killed Penn State too.
Well, I guess both teams just have two. They have two ranked wins. That's it.
And I mean, you look at Penn State, the quality of wins for them down the stretch. I mean, they won by 31, they won by 30, they won by 45, they won by 19. The last four games they played, they beat Minnesota by 28 points. They just gave up 40 plus to Ohio State and Michigan and lost both of those games. But I mean, they've largely played very well. And Penn State has the boost of, well, we went to Auburn and beat Auburn by 30 points too.
Not to throw like a major wrench in this conversation, but TCU has five ranked wins.
They do.
I know none of them are Ohio State or Tennessee or.
Here we go. Kyle's. Reasonable opinions under attack for flawed logic again. Here we go.
That wasn't why I brought it up. I brought it up through the lens of talking about quality wins in these college football playoff teams. Now I got to know USC. Let's pull them up. USC has 1, 2, 3. No, they have two. UCLA and Notre Dame. Their first ranked wins came the last 2 weeks.
Guys, can we respectfully acknowledge that of the TCU ranked wins, you're including Oklahoma. Is Oklahoma bowl eligible? Genuine question. Genuine question. Is Oklahoma bowl eligible?
Yes, they have six wins. Wins,
yeah. Okay, 6-6 Oklahoma. Kansas.
Our Jayhawks.
Our Jayhawks, who started 5-0 and finished, what, 6-6?
An impressive win at the time. They gave them their first loss of the year.
I understand that. Oklahoma State beat Texas, and then I'm pretty sure they lost every game they've played since. They were ranked number 8 at the time. They're unranked in 7-5, and they've lost 5 of their last 7 games. It's like, I hear you with the ranked wins thing, but when you look, you get to the end of the rainbow, and that was kind of the same argument for Penn State being a better quality win than Oregon. When you see the full resume of what the team is this year, like, beating number 8 Oklahoma State at the time doesn't really move the needle when Oklahoma State finishes the year 7-5, and beating Oklahoma doesn't really move the needle when Oklahoma finishes 6-6. That's all. That's just my opinion. Filled with logic. You can disagree if you'd like, just please don't get mad at me.
Stop punishing teams for things out of their control. My call.
I've already acknowledged if TCU wins, they will have earned a spot in the college football
playoff. I'm actually not mad at you, Kyle. I think everything you've said here is well within reason, and your opinion of I just don't want to watch TCU is very valid. I think that's fair. If you just don't want to watch a team, that's fine.
But we did it on the TDM Premium Discord film study a couple weeks ago. I saw all I needed to see.
But to say that they are not deserving of being in the conversation like some are saying out there in the space,
no,
could be me.
That's poppycock. They're a Power 5 undefeated team with a chance to win a 13th game, and this will be against a top 10 team if they win this one.
Mid-major championship game of the weekend is UCF Tulane, because I am not recognizing the Sun Belt. Just won't do it. Not going to be me.
It's not a real championship.
Well, you also have two ranked teams in the
Right, but you don't have James Madison in your conference championship game. I'm not recognizing
garbage.
It. I'm just not doing it. Can we do the cheapest conference championship ticket?
Sure.
All right, sure. Joe.
Coastal and Troy, right? It's got to be that, right?
It is not.
Joe, you just why would you not even consider?
You guys took the L.
Why would you not even consider talking it out? You just.
Do you want Power Five or do you want?
Give me them all. I want them all at my disposal.
I want them all. Okay. The cheapest total game ticket is $10 for a conference championship game. It's played in an NFL stadium.
It's probably the MAC then, right?
Toledo, Ohio was going to be my guess, Joe. Yes.
That is correct.
Yeah.
What's the WAC? Fresno and Boise?
Yes. Fresno State, Boise State is the Mountain West, not the WAC.
They play that at a regular stadium, don't they, though?
The WAC. The WAC. What are you, in college basketball mode?
Mountain West. You know what I meant to say. Same thing.
Right. But
yeah, because we both jumped on it right
same
away.
Same thing.
The WAC.
The WAC is actually the Coastal Troy game. That's the WAC conference championship.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow, zinger. Absolute zinger.
Got him.
Yes, Fresno, Boise. And that's played at Boise.
Do we move to the NFL slate?
Should we? Is there anything else you'd like to get off your chest, Chris?
Nah. Let me wait for the committee to make fools of themselves, and then I'll yell.
Okay.
What I need from Chris, though, and we'll be together, so this will be good. I need to know your picks. I need to know what's the Chris Schubert perfect
college playoff.
So that way we can hold you to intellectual honesty whenever they come out.
I get to let the conference championship games play out.
Of course
first,
you
right?
do. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Okay, then yeah, I'll give you my four, and if they don't go with those four, we'll yell.
Okay.
So NFL schedule, we have Thursday Night Football, Bills at Patriots
Joseph,
tonight.
Please, I need this victory for the
Chris
Bills.
Chris is rattled for the wild card.
So
Chase.
Yeah, I get that. Kyle, where do you side on this? What's the path here for you? You want the Bills to get the loss, right?
Correct, because he's trying to win a division.
Yeah, with Joe, I hope you're fully prepared for Bills, Dolphins to get flexed week 15 as well.
That's fine. It's been the last 2 years for me. So
now it might be Saturday, but we just had week 14 Dolphins Chargers get flexed up. Just be mentally prepared, like especially if these teams both have 9 or 10 wins going into the game, and you're playing for first place in the AFC East. Now, selfishly, yes, I'm in a win-win. Right, because in sitting at 8-3 and looking at the Patriots at 6-5, if they take a loss and they drop to 6-6 as like this 7 or 8 seed in the AFC playoff stand, it's okay, you know. But like selfishly, it'd be nice to have a little bit of wiggle room if you're trying to win the division.
Right.
So I'm comfortable with either team losing, and I feel like in a very weird place to have to pick a team to root for. I wouldn't be sad for you to be happy with a win.
Oh, well, thank
you. I won't actively root for it. I'm going to be Switzerland here.
It's a good place to be.
Right.
The thing about all four of the teams in the AFC
somebody's
East
lose.
Is they all control their own destiny. If you want, go get it. If you want it, you can do it. The opportunities
just
are right
games,
there.
Right?
Yeah, just win your
games,
right?
Yeah, win your games. It's a race. If you want to win the division, it's a race to what? 12?
Man, you know what? I don't know that you can look at it like that. I think the division records are going to matter. Because who's going to outright have the best record in the division?
Well, depends on who wins. Like, Dolphins are 2-1.
Bills are 0-2,
right?
Everybody has two division wins except for the Bills.
Right. It's like a weird, weird,
weird
world.
And the Bills only lost one division game the last 2 years. I think the Jets have won about two division games the last 10. They got two already this year.
Right.
It ain't normal.
So the Jets are 2-2, right? They've only got one against the Bills and
correct.
One against the
Bills and Dolphins,
Dolphins
are the two wins
left.
And those are the two games they have left.
Okay. So if you want to win the division, 13 is probably like to remove the you know, like it's a race to 13 with those two teams. Now that eliminates the Jets and Patriots right now. Are the Jets going to run the table and go undefeated the rest
but
of the
you
way?
You can't say it eliminates them. They can do it.
are they going to be the first team to 13 wins?
Probably not, no.
Okay, so that, I'm just saying, like, logically, you could say, if you were saying to win the East, you got to win 13, be the first to win 13, that probably ain't going to happen for New York. You'd have to have teams in front of you drop a couple games.
There's only six games left to play, guys, too,
right?
Like, you're talking about winning five more games to get to 13. Well,
I think that's a testament to how tight it is between the top. But if you want to make the playoffs, it's a race to 10.
11 wins would have won this division the last 2 years, right?
Please don't remind me,
now,
because I'm probably
like going to
win 11 and not win the division.
Yeah, but you're in, man. 8-3, you have like a 96% chance of going to the playoffs.
You win this week, playoff likelihood goes to 98%.
Yeah, so congrats on that.
Well, just go out and beat San Francisco. So we have the Thursday night game. This is not the AFC East podcast, where you got to do the whole thing. But there's lots, obviously, with that whole team in the playoffs right now. Like, it's a huge storyline for the NFL and the AFC playoff conference standings. 1 o'clock games. At least we have
Titans,
Tennessee,
Eagles, baby.
Philadelphia.
Titans, Eagles.
Yeah, that's the one that jumps out as like a really compelling game. Chris, obviously, you will have a vested interest in Jets.
Jets,
Vikings.
I'm not allowed to pick that for
right,
this segment,
right,
so that's why
right,
I didn't
right,
pick
right,
it. But
I'll,
yes,
I'll pick it. Jets, Vikings is the most compelling 1 o'clock game.
You think more so than Tennessee, Philadelphia?
Yeah, I mean,
really,
it's in Philadelphia. I feel like, I don't know that the Titans have enough dynamic components of their offense to be able to make it interesting. I guess they could. The one thing is, the Philly has not stopped the run well of late without Jordan Davis.
Without Jordan Davis.
Right, so,
and I think he might be
eligible. They activated
this week
his
to come
window,
back.
But it's 21 days. Who knows?
Right. The 4 o'clock slate, we got four games.
It's
Seahawks,
Dolphins,
Rams.
49ers. That's the game.
Kansas City, Cincinnati's a very compelling game as well. Like, I have to pick that one because I can't pick 49ers.
It's Dolphins and 49ers. That's the most compelling 4 o'clock game. No, like the Chiefs and Bengals. That's a big one.
What did Joe just do there?
Where were you?
Where was Joe?
I didn't scroll down far enough on my list, so I didn't know.
But this. I said it out loud.
I know, but I was looking at the list. I picked a game and Kyle picked a game. What just happened there?
I zoned out. I wasn't listening. I'll admit it. I wasn't listening to you.
That's very funny.
Holy smokes,
Joseph. I'm glad it's not just me.
I thought I scrolled down far enough to see all the 4 o'clock games, and so I was just...
Kyle, I actually thought he was delayed for a second, and like we were going to get his reaction. Yep.
No, he just spaced. Let him be.
You guys have never zoned out and hoped that you
I've
picked
it
up it in the right spot.
Right.
All right,
right.
I got.
Colts, Cowboys, Sunday Night Football.
I don't want to talk about that game.
Nobody wants to talk about that game. That's why it's $24 to get into Jerry World.
Nobody wants to talk about Monday night either, so we're just going to leave that one out there.
Right,
that
could be for the division. First place might be on the line for that, right? No, the Bucks have...
No, the Saints at 5-8 cannot be in first place for the win.
They're 4-8.
If they win, they'd be 5-8. That's the point I'm making.
So the Bucks would be 5-7.
Well, Falcons are going to get a chance to put their foot down on the gas here playing Pittsburgh. And
that's
you think
right.
about it.
Get to 6-7. Let's
go. Atlanta running the ball versus that Pittsburgh defense with those linebackers is a really good opportunity to get after it.
Draft dudes, underdog, moneyline parlay of the week. Stuff.
How'd we do last week?
I don't remember.
Chris,
you're the producer of the show.
So we didn't do it last week because we did not have a weekly watch list show because it was Thanksgiving.
All right, you're
very good
hook,
point. Right? What about the week before?
That's way too far away for me to be able
well,
to
remember. Hold on. Week 11, we can use our time machine here on ESPN.com and go back and look at the schedule. This was just looking for games that might have qualified. Yeah,
somebody took the Lions. I think I took the Jets, though. I think I took the Jets. So when they lost 10-3.
Who took the Lions?
I don't know, but the Lions on the road against the Giants, I think they were underdogs.
Did somebody take the Raiders? Raiders won in overtime against the Broncos.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember what we did.
There's no chance, yeah.
Oh, you know what? I might have it written down somewhere. Hold on.
Yeah, I would have assumed we have like a running sheet, a show sheet.
Right. Well, we don't have a running sheet, but I have a...
And I'll use our friends over at BetOnline to pull up the current odds for us to identify might be good candidates for this week.
Tough.
Guys, we might have to pick the Dolphins.
We might have to. No, I don't have it written down anywhere. I'll write this one down, though, so we have it.
Oh, good idea. Okay, so our dogs for the week are the Patriots at home against the Bills.
Not doing it.
The Jets on the road against the Vikings. The Broncos by 9.5 points against the Ravens. Now, these are money line parlays, so just bear that in mind. Steelers by a point against the Falcons. The Titans against the Eagles.
This is tough.
The Lions at home against the Jaguars is one we're going to have to jump on.
We can't. There's no money line for that game.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Bet online. What do you... What? Come on.
There's no money line.
Can we pick the Falcons?
Giants at home against the Commanders?
You could pick the Falcons if you want. I think they're favored, though. They are favored, so you can't take them.
Damn.
Texans are dogs against the Browns.
If you believe in karma, you take the Texans in that game.
Right. Ball don't lie. Bears at home against the Packers. Rams at home. I certainly ain't taking the Rams. The Dolphins against the 49ers.
We ain't winning this week, boys.
The Raiders
by a point. This is not the week.
The Bengals at home against the Chiefs.
This is tough.
I'll take that Colts. One. I'll take that. I'll take the Bengals over the Chiefs.
You're taking Bengals.
Taking the Bengals.
Yep.
All right.
Oh,
you know what?
Man.
I think I do have it. I screenshotted it. Hold on, guys.
Joe, would you be mad at me if I took my favorite team just in a homer fit of rage here?
Why would I be mad at that?
Well, just it's not rooted in very sound logic. It's more rooted in wishful thinking.
So we took the Jets against the Patriots, which was a loser. We took the Bears against the Falcons, which was a loser. And we took the Lions against the Giants, which was a winner.
Oh.
So okay. That was our last.
Somebody,
that was our last
somebody
attempt
hit.
At this.
Somebody hit.
Who are you taking?
Me?
Kyle? Yeah.
I'm probably going to do the homer thing and take the Dolphins on the road against the 49ers.
I think that's respectful. Because you know what I'm going to do?
You're going to do the same thing?
I'm going to take the Jets on the road against the Vikings.
Oh. Oh, no.
Guys, come on. Give me better. There's no better options.
I put the one I feel the best about, Bengals.
Right. So we're in there. So that would get you plus 1,200.
You don't want the Giants at home?
No, that team's not playing good football right now. I told you
really?
How I feel about them.
They won 7 games already, Kyle.
Yeah, shut up. We're not doing this.
Okay. I'd think about the Bears if we knew Fields was going to play, but.
We don't know.
How'd Trevor Siemian look there, Chris? Can he win ball
it
games?
It was not. No.
Can he do it?
Can't win ball games. No, can't do it. Can't win with him. Can't go to war with him.
Can't go to war with him. That's right.
Okay. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Look, I think we all wish that life would come with a user manual to help us through all of the ups and downs, but unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. So when it's not working for you, it is normal to feel stuck. It's normal to feel like things are out of sorts. Navigating any of life's challenges, whether that is a career change, a new relationship, becoming a parent, all of the stresses of life, it can make you feel unsure. While therapists are trained to help you figure out the cause of all of those challenging emotions and help you learn productive coping skills, which makes therapy the closest thing to a guided tour of that complex engine called you and your brain. As the world's largest therapy service, BetterHelp has matched 3 million people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists available 100% online. Plus, it's affordable. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to match with the therapist. If things aren't clicking, you can easily switch to a new therapist at any time. It couldn't be any simpler. No waiting rooms, no traffic, no endless searching for the right therapist. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/draftdudes. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/draftdudes. Big boards. Because it is National Pi Day, P-I-E.
One of several, I believe.
One of several Pi Days. I think they celebrated on January 23rd and then Pi Day on March 14th. But it is Pi Day, P-I-E, December 1st. We are going to power rank our top five
pies.
How about that for you? Top five pies.
Top five baked good pies here on the show.
Who would like to start with number five?
I can introduce my number five if you'd like.
I have a controversial number five, so.
What?
Yeah.
Is it the cheesecake?
No, it's similar. It doesn't have pie in the title.
technically it's not a pie, but technically it is a pie. So
we are going to make that argument here in a second. Don't worry.
Right. So you've done it. So go ahead and throw it out there.
Peach cobbler, baby. Number five.
I can
closer to a pie than a cheesecake. If we let's be fair.
No, that's correct.
So we're going to go peach cobbler number five on my list.
I didn't realize cobblers were part of the mix here. Otherwise, yeah, it might be in. Same. I might have a cobbler in, well, in one of my spots.
You guys should have done your research. Cobblers are considered pies.
I Googled about 50 pie flavors and just picked my top five.
So did I. And cobblers came up on the official Wikipedia list of pies. So it was in there.
Wikipedia is not a universally accepted source of information,
right,
according to many high school teachers across the country.
Right. As the producer of this show, acceptable resource.
Okay. I had key lime pie at number five for me. It's a summer day. Eat something light at a cookout or whatever. Key lime pie is my like warm weather pie go-to.
Number five for me is peanut butter pie.
Oh,
yeah.
I got to be honest. I can't tell you the last time I had peanut butter pie.
Oh, man. Very, very good. My sister makes a phenomenal peanut butter pie.
So is it like creamy or is it like cakey?
It's creamy. It's like a creamy inside graham cracker type crust. It's phenomenal.
So is the consistent, like, I'm just trying to paint the picture in my head. Is the consistency like pumpkin pie?
No, more like key lime. Very like.
Okay. So almost a little meringue-y?
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Like whipped, light?
Whipped.
Okay.
Light. Yeah.
Cool. Cool. Does anybody have chocolate pie on your list, by the way?
I have a version of chocolate pie at some point on my list, yes.
Why'd you say it like that?
Because you'll see it when we get to it later.
No, just chocolate. You did the thing.
So number four for me. And again, controversial list here. I understand. I put a chicken pot pie number four.
Oh, Chris is going crazy. He's breaking out chicken pot pie.
I respect the non-dessert pie.
We
approach.
Have two non-dessert pies.
Wow,
on
there's
the list.
Another
chicken
one.
Pot pie. Chicken pot pie, the first one.
Chris
on
is going to drop lasagna next. It's a pie. It's made in a casserole dish.
Don't worry.
Macaroni and cheese casserole, yeah.
No,
with
don't
graham
worry.
Cracker
these both have pies in the name, so this is fair. But the chicken pot pie number four.
I respect
the
hell out of it, Chris. I really do.
Yeah, that's job well done. Job well done.
Thank you. Thank you.
Apple pie with the crumb
this
topping.
Is a crime. This is a crime.
Is number four.
Crime.
Too high or too low?
This is way too low on this list.
Okay, well, hear me out. You got to hear the rest of my list.
I don't have to.
I had to make an on-the-fly audible here, boys.
I was wondering what you were looking down there
smiling.
Yeah,
he's writing a new thing down.
Yeah. Is he going to put chicken pot pie in?
No. No, it's not. Nothing that's been discussed yet. Am I ready for my number four?
Yeah, go ahead.
Pumpkin pie. Phenomenal, but...
Okay.
Four's the right spot for it because I like the three in front of it better.
Okay, so that was the audibles. You move pumpkin pie down and put something else further up.
What I really did is I dropped my number four out of here. It's gone.
Oh, you just kicked it out altogether.
I kicked it out, and then I had a new number one, and I bumped everything else. Because I had a big revelation here, which we'll get to.
Okay. Don't want to spoil it. So just, I guess we'll have the conversation about apple pie when Chris drops apple pie on his list. And that's fine. I'm mentally prepared to come back to apple pie. But apple pie is number four for me. Number three, Christopher.
Number three, chocolate cream pie. Number three for me on the list. That's where we get another chocolate pie on there. Nothing like a good piece of pie with some chocolate in there, some whipped cream. Fantastic stuff. We're losing Kyle completely here in this part of the show. Go ahead. Kyle's just making fun of the way I say chocolate, and he's just not happy with himself.
Oh, no. Duncan.
Go ahead, Joe. Number three.
Joe?
Number three for me is cherry pie.
Number three for me is also cherry pie. Let me ask you this.
Gentlemen.
What's the top like? Is it the weave?
It's got to be the weave. You're not going to do this unless it's the weave.
I my mother makes a very good pie crust, so I'm fine with it being like the entire, like, what's the word for it? The crust that covers the entire thing.
Okay, so you're okay with a flaky top, full top crust.
Full top crust, yeah. Is that the
There's something special about the wave.
I like the weave.
There's something special about it, you know?
But I am not indifferent. I just like that the especially if they put like the like the sugar on top.
Oh, delicious.
For the like the brown flaky, yeah, I'm in. So cherry pie, Joe, job well done. Very underrated pie in my mind. Cherry pie.
Number two for me, as we get to number two. Shepherd's pie, number two. We're going non-traditional pies. It's shepherd's pie, number two. Give me that minced meat in there, potatoes, bake it. Oh, it's delicious.
Shoe fly pie.
Yeah, number you knew
two.
That was on Kyle's list.
That was guaranteed.
So I was working. We were only looking at four overlap opportunities for my list versus everybody else's because I know shoe fly pie is off the beaten path. But if you haven't had it, it's a molasses crumb type of pie that is outstanding.
Number two for me was my number one until I made the audible. Peach pie, folks. Peach pie is friggin' good. Nice warm peach pie, summer day. Yes.
So, Joe.
Yeah.
Your new number one, not on the board originally, was off the board, moved all the way up to number one. Is that what you're telling us right now?
Yes. Can I? Do you want me to go first on number
one? He didn't rationalize this being classified as a pie, I think.
That's exactly right.
So, I bet he took a cobbler.
Can I go? Can I go first on number
Please,
one?
Please. Yes, Joseph.
Coming in at number one is... the pizza pie. Come on.
You are
you have
corny.
Lost it. You have lost.
What? It was a great choice. Mind. I'm like I had to change everything once I thought of it as an option.
I'm glad you didn't choose tomato pie though, cuz that is a real thing that's like different
Bro.
Than pizza and tomato pie. You can miss me with tomato pie.
Can we talk about that, Kyle? Because I've been to some events at your house, and tomato pie is always there. And I'm like, man, they could keep this and bring something else.
Yeah.
And everything's always good at Kyle. I always love whatever I eat at Kyle's house. But like, and they were like raving about it, like, oh, the tomato pie. Like, if you just do all these things to it, it's so good. And I'm like,
why don't you get me a couple mozzarella string cheese sticks for me to peel and lay over top of that and put it back in the microwave so I can have a real pizza. Like,
I tell you, man, friggin' tomato pie.
It's bread with tomato paste.
Yeah,
is tomato pie
bad?
All the way up. Pumpkin pie was number one for me.
Outstanding,
especially if you get some cool whip. Put a little cool whip on top.
You know, I'm not a cool whip on pumpkin pie guy.
No? Are you like a Mel Kiper? You just eat the Cool Whip separate?
I don't really put Cool Whip on much, to be honest with you.
You ever put Cool Whip in the freezer? See what happens to it? It's like ice cream, but like exponentially lighter with calories. It's a nice little life hack. You put Cool Whip in the freezer and freeze it, and then you can like scoop it out and eat it like ice cream.
Number one for me, warm apple pie. Number one on the list.
So, Chris, my question that I was going to ask you and holstered until you revealed that warm apple pie was number one spot on yours. Are you a full slice of apple pumpkin or a full slice of apple kind of apple pie guy? Or are you like a chunked apple?
No, give me a full slice.
So you want the full... Yep. It's like there's different densities of apple in apple pie,
for sure.
Right?
For sure.
It's like some very gel filling with modest pieces of apple versus like very high volume apple.
100%. Give me a full slice. Give me warm, and then give me a scoop of vanilla ice cream on top. Let that melt in there. Delicious.
I'll tell you what. Apple pie dropped off my list. It was previously at number four. And the qualifier for me dropping it off was that
Well, you put pizza pie number one.
Yeah,
so I don't
obvious
really know how
choice because
I...
pizza's way better than everything we just
Chris
discussed.
Got mad at me for putting apple pie at four.
Here's the deal with apple pie. Apple pie without the scoop of vanilla ice cream is not that great.
Well, that I disagree Ooh. With. The vanilla ice cream, I think, enhances it.
It's required for it to be top tier. It needs something else.
Which is why shoe fly is the greatest dessert pie, because it doesn't need something like pumpkin needs Cool Whip, apple needs a slice of ice cream. Shoe fly pie is ranked number two, and you don't need to put anything else with it, so it's actually the greatest of pies.
But not even according to your own list,
because pumpkin is with Cool Whip is ranked higher.
Was a single pie on all four lists?
Did
you have pumpkin,
say that
Chris?
Again, Joe? I did not have pumpkin.
Yeah, no, so Chris bombed it because he went off the board with meat pies.
I mean, I bombed it. I literally dropped apple pie in the middle of the show.
Right, that's fine.
And I didn't do, just because I went with non-traditional, non-dessert pies doesn't mean my list is wrong.
I didn't say that it was. I'm just meant the chances that we had in order to overlap.
Oh, yeah, Joe put pizza pie number one. I had chicken pot pie and shepherd's pie on mine. So that was never going to happen. We were never going to get a match here.
And I put shoe fly pie on. So I burned a spot. Yeah. It was never going to happen.
We were never going to do this.
It's more interesting when we don't have any carryover. That's fine with
me. I am very proud that Joe and I share cherry pie. I genuinely feel like cherry pie is extremely underrated.
Which is crazy to me. Like, it should be like celebrated as a top tier pie by everybody.
Correct. But it's not.
Like, whenever we have birthdays in my house or my family, you pick what dessert you want for like your cake or whatever. And I pick cherry or peach pie every single year.
So your top fruit pie is peach pie.
Yeah.
Chris, your top fruit pie is apple pie.
Correct.
I'm going to sound like an idiot here. Pumpkin's a vegetable, right?
Oh, I'm not participating in this conversation.
No, I'm genuinely
I'm not doing
game.
This.
I think it's a vegetable.
It's a gourd.
Right, which makes me feel like it's a vegetable. Oh. It's grown in the ground.
All right, Chris, what's Google tell us? I know you're working on it.
I am. I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
It's a fruit?
My friend Kyle. It's considered a fruit, it looks like.
Okay, so then pumpkin pie is my top fruit pie, but otherwise cherry pie would be my top. What's the weird one that like everybody thinks is one, but it's the other?
Tomato?
Well,
what's a tomato?
Wasn't like a when I was growing up, the qualifier for a fruit was if they had seeds in it, right? You guys ever heard this?
Does that check out?
Guys, we're just going to make ourselves look really foolish.
No,
here.
What about genuine green bell peppers? They have seeds in them. Are they fruit?
Brother, I don't know, man. I don't know. This is, you want to talk about getting me uncomfortable? It's this.
Talking about fruits and vegetables?
Well, because there's probably some very like obvious information out there that we're not aware of.
So here you go. What this is from AgriLife Today here.
I'm surprised you didn't use Wikipedia, the universally accepted Draft Dudes information resource.
AgriLife Today, what do we got?
What other vegetables are actually fruits? Although we may typically base our knowledge of fruits and vegetables from their sweet and savory tendencies or where they're placed in our meals, it seems that many of our regularly thought of vegetables are actually fruits simply because they come from a flower. Some of those include cucumbers, olives, tomatoes, eggplants, avocados, corn, zucchini, okra, string beans, peppers, and of course, pumpkins.
Those are all fruits.
So what's is there any vegetables
so
out there?
So what's left to be a vegetable?
Oh, potatoes, vegetables?
Potatoes are the only vegetable. Potatoes and every cousin off the family
broccoli.
Tree.
Broccoli. Broccoli's a vegetable.
Cauliflower.
Cauliflower is a vegetable.
Chocolate.
Not a vegetable.
You live like relatively close to like New York City. Isn't that not like a normal way that you hear people say chocolate?
No. It's chocolate. Like chalk. Not chalk. Chalk.
We do this like once every 4 days on the show.
No, it's more often than that. Is there anything else we need to leave the people with here?
No, I think we've left them with enough here today on the show.
Gone completely off the rails?
Yeah, we've got takes on takes and two truths and a lie tomorrow, so I'm sure they'll get plenty of chaos tomorrow as well.
Is everybody good to record tomorrow at our normally recorded
yes.
time?
Yeah. My travel is not impacted by that.
I'm just making sure. I'm going to be close. Actually, I might be the one that's closest.
I'm not leaving until Friday morning, so.
Oh, must be nice. Well, for everybody listening, that's tomorrow morning. Okay, well, that's going to do it for us here today on the show. We hope everybody enjoyed this spiraling thought experience that we've put out into the world with our pies on pie day and the watch list for yet another week. Kyle Krabs, Joe Marino, Chris Schubert, appreciate you guys tuning in and hanging out with us. Thanks to our friends at BetOnline for their continued support as well. Make it a great rest of your Thursday, and we'll talk with you all again tomorrow.
Thanks for being here for another episode of the Draft Dudes Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. While you are at it, help the dudes out by leaving a rating and review. Want more? head over to www.thedraftnetwork.com or follow us at The Draft Network on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.